Hey guys, what are you guys doing on the weekend of May 12th? May 10th through 12th. What are you guys doing those days? I know what I'm doing. I'm gonna be sick. Unfortunately, so ill, because I'm coming down with a case of Mountain Mania. Mountain Mania. Burke Mountain Resort in Vermont, 10th through 12th May. Be there or be square, because we're gonna be there. We're not gonna be square, we're gonna be round, and we're gonna run a live show. It's gonna be awesome. There's gonna be magic, there's gonna be D&D. I might run a table. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Gonna be a good time. Be there and hang out with us and say hi. And seriously, see Siobhan, say hi to Siobhan. She's putting it all together, right? She's awesome. Anyway, see you there. I hope.
Is still going hot in Zend. I thought I might talk about the Kings of Coin that oversee the city. Let's start with Grand Messer Amos Nier, the first King of Coin and a man of no small presence. The Grand Messer oversees the trade of wine and anything else related to the jelly flower. As a king of Noari's top export, he is a man of great, great wealth and power. Of course, the jelly flower was only discovered 16 years ago. Before that time, the Grand Messer dealt wholly in wine trade without the benefit of the magical pink petal flora we all know and love today. He lives a rich life in Zinda with a large family. He and his wife, Madame Taria Nier, have 5 children, with their heir being the well-known and somewhat troublesome prince, Osranir. The Grand Master has also been known to be remarkably close to his staff. Marie Serene, his head of service, rarely ever leaves his side, and his chef, Fyodor Popov of Arnakek, is a master of the art who is sought out by the Grand Master himself. These two in particular are so close to the Grand Messer that he retains them in his palace each year during the first day of the march, the annual meeting of the Kings of Coin. Though most of the Grand Messer's family are strictly sent away, it seems Amos Nier understands that there is just no replacement for good food and good service. Just goes to show, the old Zinda saying is true. When it comes to throwing a party, nothing can discourage Grand Messer Amos Nier.
Ooh, love it when I end on the note. Love it.
You know, we comment on this every time we have an end on it, but no matter what, you don't hear it because
it gets edited to sound.
It gets edited to sound the way it sounds.
Just know that it sounds good for us as it did for you this time. Doesn't always happen that way. Oh, let's do a murder mystery, they said. It'll be easy, they said. 12 NPCs, they said.
Man.
I said.
I bet it would be a lot easier if it was all like written down in one cohesive area.
Now, okay. Well, okay. So, yeah. All right. My notes last time were a little rough. So we ended last session and I was straight like feverish. I could not read during it. I am actually shocked when we went back and heard it that it sounded as like, not legible. What's the word? Audible. There we go. That makes sense. As audible as it did because, man, I was out of it. But you know what? You know what? I'm really excited because, yeah, there's 12 NPCs. Yeah, that's crazy. But we're going into a murder mystery. This is my absolute shit. My favorite genre. I love Agatha Christie. I love Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. I love this shit so much.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Put it on a t-shirt.
That is my absolute shit.
That's my absolute. Dude, I am so stoked. And this time around, I think my notes are a little cleaner. I think I'm ready to go. And what's so fun about these is it's not really up to me. Like, you guys are going to be our detectives, I hope. Should you be able to get yourself in that situation. I'm not holding your hands. You guys got to get in there. You got to fight for it. But I'm going to give you a reason to fight.
All right.
Just
get ready, folks.
You wait.
This arc is going to last longer than Sansa Tian.
Oh, gosh. With 12 NPCs? Maybe.
Yeah, Blanche casts Switchbolt.
Just blows up everybody. It'll miss.
Maybe.
It always misses. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Ready to play? It's been 2 weeks since we've played, right?
Yes.
It has been. Yeah, I had to go into a writer's depression for a week after the last one.
David had to recover from both a mental and physical illness. We hung out last night, though, to kind of like get back into the swing of things.
Oh, we did.
Had a cigar outside. Mm-hmm. Well, half outside, then the other half inside because it was still cold.
It was very cold. It was very cold.
I mean, if there was no wind, it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was a nice night.
Uh-huh.
It was a great time to hang out and get us ready for the game.
Get us ready. Yeah, it was lovely. It was lovely. Man, oh, so much cool stuff going on. Another cool thing going on, actually, this coming weekend, Steven. Surprised you didn't mention this. We, Steven and I, Jeremy unfortunately got bogged down with both editing this show and a number of other life things.
Real life.
But
real life happened.
Real life happens a lot. I got very, very, very lucky that I was able to skip out because it's the one slow weekend ever here. So we are heading down to Connecticut, right?
Yes.
Yes, to meet physically in person. D and Rochelle. I am stoked. This is so cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. We're going to finally meet up with Rochelle, Sound Pukey Girl, who makes all our maps for us.
And a little note on that later on. We have an amazing map tonight. So,
and yes, her DM and friend and our friend as well now, Daniel, is going to be there. So we're going to hang out. It'll be wonderful. And then a couple weeks later... at Mountain Mania.
Oh, we're dropping it.
What?
Rochelle is going to be there with us.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit.
So we're having like, it's going to be a wild month.
So crazy.
I'm very excited. Mountain Mania is just going to be, it's going to be really cool. It's amazing to have something like Mountain Mania so close to home for us because we live up in the boonies.
Yeah.
You know, most of these... gaming conventions and things like that, you got to travel down to Boston or Providence or whatever.
Who wants to go to Boston ever?
Nobody.
Nobody. They come here all the time for a reason.
But but Burke Mountain in Vermont, I'm going there, man.
Fuck yeah.
That's where I'm going to hang out and play games.
We're going to do a live show.
Yes, we're going to record a live show. So you'll be hearing that probably end of May, beginning April, right?
I don't know. We've had issues with saying specific dates in the past. Let's not shoot ourselves in the foot this time.
Several weeks from now.
But yes, if you want to, if you're around this area and you want to come by and be there live when our party journeys to the tundras of Arnakek, maybe even catch a little hint of old enemy-turned-ally Mesmer Eyes. Ooh. Hang out at Mountain Mania because it's coming.
Still a bad name.
Stop it. Throw eggs at Jeremy for there. Throw all the eggs. You guys want to do a murder mystery? You guys want to do a murder mystery?
Yeah, I'm ready to solve some murder.
Hell yeah. And by the way, this arc, I'm putting these maps out. I'm putting this data out on the Discord, perhaps on the Instagram. If Steven's willing to kind of get involved in that.
Yeah, of course.
I want you guys, listeners, to try to solve this too. I think it's gonna be a really fun one. So if you want to get in there, anyone who solves it and sends us the name and you get it right before everything's comes out, I'll send you a button in the mail. You get your own button. Can we do that?
Yeah, of course we can. Crazy? Do that.
All right, let's
of course
do, we can that. Do that.
I want to know what that envelope looks like. An envelope. I imagine just being totally empty, just with a button.
That's precisely my plan.
That's awesome.
That is. Yeah, full David style. That's just fine.
Maybe I'll throw a sticker in there when you're not looking.
All right. And don't let me see though, because that'd be bad. All right. Now give me a moment to open Sirenscape, because I forgot. Too excited. We don't plug Sirenscape enough. Sirenscape, you guys rule. This is seriously like my favorite DMing tool ever. And if you want music, you want sound effects, you want all the shit, get Sirenscape. Sometimes it'll blow your ears up with all the effects at once. It's hilarious. Anyway. Is that a selling point? Just open on a heartbeat.
Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, faded on Jules' eyes, looking in at this scene, seeing a body, the body of Melo Ara, son of king of the jeweler's trade, Samira Ara, the sort of overseer of this policing force, the Silent Verse, who is behind you shaking with rage, tears filling her eyes. You look at this body who is dressed to look like you, Jules. Why? Why you? You just hear Chester beside you. Oh, holy shit, Jules. Is that supposed to be you? What?
What?
Blanche's eyes are taking in the bloodletter symbol written in blood on the back wall. So obvious, so clear, a message. But how? This place is locked down. How do they bloodletter assassin? Some revolutionary with a, you know, some dangerous cause? How did they get in here? How did this even happen? All these thoughts swirling in this moment, and then you find yourselves being pulled, yanked rudely away.
That's enough. That's enough. We need to lock this down.
Harlan Burnshadow, the Dwergar, sort of head of the Silent Verse, the captain, is pulling you away, trying to close the door.
Ooh.
You hear Samira, no, no, I want him to explain to me, gesturing towards you, Jules, what have his revolutionaries done to my son? What have you done?
Madam, look around. The Silent Verse needs to control the situation. We will get our answers, I swear it. Look.
She sort of spins around, and you all do, and you see that the hallway is now full of people. Everyone here, everyone that's here in this manor stands behind you, all looking in. I'm going to activate a little something here. Blanche, we talked about this before, between sessions. I think there's a fun way to sort of make sure you guys get all the info you need, and the listeners also get the info they need. Because this is a lot of stuff I'm dropping at you. I don't want you to think about last week. I want to be able to keep this info coming fast and loose, and I want to be able to update it, and I want it to make sense. This is a little silly, but I think it's pretty fun.
I think it's awesome.
You have these glasses you got from Itzmindel Prado, the Eyes of Minute Seeing. I like to think that one of your lenses has the ability to sort of zoom up, zoom out, kind of like having a single sort of or the detective glass. How do I not know this?
Magnifying glass?
Damn it! Magnifying glass in your hand, or sort of like right in front of your eye, that you can kind of control. But the other lens you have found is something entirely different, something that you've attuned to over the last few weeks. For this is not just these spectacles are not just eyes of minute seeing, they're also something called eyes of memory display. You see, Itzmin would use these to look upon like all the different people he'd meet with, you know, potential clients or investors, and he could pull up any information that he has in his mind sort of right to the forefront, displayed right on the screen. What? That's crazy.
Man, so convenient.
So convenient.
For this format.
Perhaps you spin around to look at the crowd that's built around you, and you see little bits of information popping on your little screen. If you got pen and paper, get it out now. Here's the suspects. Amos Nier, king of jelly and wine trade, owner of this palace, leader of the Kings of Coin. Azra Nier, son of Amos Nier, big fan of Diva Luma.
You're going to have to slow way down so I can actually write this down.
You're going to listen back, right?
Sure. I don't need it right now.
Well, no, because we're doing two episodes tonight.
You're right. Okay, fine.
I'm not going to need this information or anything for the next 2.5 hours.
All slowed down. What do you need now? You need Azra again?
Yeah. Azra, A-Z-R-A.
A-Z-R-A-N-I-R. Son of Amos Nier. Big Diva Luma fan. That's all you've seen so far of this guy. It's all stuff that you know that you've seen. So it's not like you're getting new intel. So you see the head of the house and the prince. You look over to see Samira Ara still beside herself with rage, fury, and loss. The king of the jeweler's trade, overseer of the Silent Verse policing force. You look over into the room again to see the corpse on the ground dressed as jewels. Mellow Ara, Samira's son. In the crowd is the king of the tavern-keeping trade, the jolly orc named Margus Ruba. And beside them is their daughter, Xenia Ruba, sort of gothic half-orc, a big jewels fan from what you've heard. There is, of course, De Piero Montelio, king of the fishing trade, the 7th most recent king of coin. Lord of Meliteran, the Golden Bay Tortles.
What was the Meliteran?
That's just what the people of Zinda call Golden Bay. Golden Bay is a turtle. They refer to their area as the Golden Bay. It's not what it's known as elsewhere. A lot of folk refer to it as Meliteran. And of course, besides De Piero is Le Doulamois, his financial advisor, brought to this meeting in the role of banner bearer in Jean Franklin's stead, in case the young prince didn't show. Just what you would know, Blanche, Ledoux is De Piero's ward. He'd sort of found him when he was much younger and saw that Ledoux had this absolutely brilliant mind for numbers. A lot of people, because DePiero has made a huge sort of wave in the Xenda region by becoming the seventh king of coin and kind of taking over the fishing trade. And what people don't realize is he had a secret weapon behind him. And that weapon is Ledoux Lemoine, his financial advisor. Brilliant. But kind of an asshole. Maybe a hot asshole, though. I don't know.
Reminds me of somebody.
Hey, true. there is Diva Luma, who's been with you guys in the billiards room for the last hour or so. A battle diva graduate of the Elucidarium. It's a bard college here in Xenda. She's a popular luminary adventurer and a performer across all worlds. Pretty well-known name. There is Fyodor Popov, the personal chef to Amos Nir, a human from Arnakek. So it kind of stands out. Very, very large, large, pale man with big, bushy mutton chops. Then there is Larissa Rin, the head of service for Amos Nir.
Can you spell the last name?
R-I-N. See, a young woman with...
Which is what?
The head of service. So basically just head butler, head kind of like the grandmaster's right hand. She seems to be like right by his side. Even kind of looks similar with the wheel able to sort of shaved heads as if she's shaved hers to kind of copy his. And lastly, as you're looking around, there is, of course, Harlan Burnshadow, captain of the Silent Verse, a Dwergar from Rotham. You know that the Silent Verse works for Samira Ara. They're supposed to work for all the Kings of Coin, but they're overseen by one of them.
All right, I will organize that mess of notes later.
Hell yeah.
That's a lot of suspects, David. A
lot of suspects. And immediately as you turn back to look at them and you take these names in, I mean, the whole hall is evolving into chaos. Just, what is the meaning of, whoa, is that Mellow? Oh my God.
No, this cannot be. This cannot be.
Oh dear. Oh, that sweet boy. Oh.
I don't understand. I
just as everyone sort of speaking at once. Suddenly you just see like Dwergar. Start rushing the hall, some appearing out of invisibility, actually just upon everyone. It's these black leather armor with gold sort of filigrees. You see that Harlan Burnshaw is not the only Dwergar, and you start to understand how they've been hiding so well. These Dwergar, a number of them coming from invisibility, are just surrounding everyone. Harlan just looking at, nodding them, just like, lock it down! Lock everything down!
Before we get pushed away or anything,
yeah,
I want to try to see, maybe this is stupid,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm interested.
I want to see if I think the body was dressed as Jules before or after being murdered.
You saw it for a moment? Give me an investigation check. You saw it for long enough to kind of think this through.
I probably wasn't within 1 foot, was I?
No. If you can get back in there, though, you might be able to get another check to see when you're close up.
Okay. As she's making this investigation check, Samira... You know I was locked in that room. You can trust me. Let me help you figure this out. Let me help you solve this.
She's just seething.
15.
15. With that, I will say, you remember one thing starkly. The shirt and cloak that was covering it did have holes. The body was dressed as Jules before being stabbed to death.
Interesting.
Chaos all around. Dwergar kind of trying to rush people out, just like, everyone's returning to their rooms. Bring them to their rooms right now. We're locking this down. We need to investigate. Search every room, every person. We need to...
And suddenly Harlan sort of stops. And he looks over. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the scene you're standing in. You are on the second floor at the end of the hallway. And there's kind of a branching sort of opening part of the hall where on one end is what looked to be Grand Messer Amos Nier's room. It's like a most ornate doorway here. And on the other side, there's from that, there are two doors. One belonged to Mello Ara. The other, you don't know whose it is. Beside that, there is another door. Basically, right in front of those two doors, right beside them, staying next to you. And this door is closed. You're not really sure what Harlan stopped for, and then you kind of hear a something, like a sliding sound from behind that door.
The bathroom. Oi! Who's in there? Oi!
Starts pounding on it.
Come out now! Come out!
Harlan's occupied?
He's turned to like try to knock on that door.
I'm trying to decide if I need to get closer.
It's a tricky thing. Right now is a really sensitive time.
Sure.
You're trying to make a point that you should be allowed to investigate.
Right. Yeah, so I don't really want to put myself in a bad grace.
It's up to you, because like, if you can't get in a good grace, this might be your chance. But then again, everyone's watching, and there's Dwergar
all through this place. Mm-hmm. You realize the Silent Verse are actually look like they were a dwarven clan, dark dwarf clan.
How about this? How many Dwargar do I see right now? Let's at least gather some info.
Currently, there are six.
Six, including Harlan?
No, Harlan. Six more apart from Harlan.
Okay.
It all seemed like they rushed in from outside. You know, some of them, like I said, some came from invisible, some didn't. Looks like they must alternate that. If you know anything about Dwargar, they can't always turn invisible, but they can do it like once a day.
Well, how about this? What does Blanche know about Dwargar?
Give me a roll.
Like, how do you spell it?
History. You want to spell it? Give me a history check.
Okay.
I'll give you the spelling, but I'm probably even saying it wrong, in which case, message Steven. Yell at him.
17.
Dwargar. D-U-E-R-G-A-R, probably. D-U-E-R-G-A-R. They are dark dwarves from the world of Rotham exclusively. Rotham is a subterranean world. In the deepest depths of it, you'll find races like the Dwargar. They are generally very isolationist. They generally keep to their own clans. It's super weird they're here because this is a tropical, sunny world. And they do not like the sun. You remember seeing Harlan grimacing in pain when you first met him early, just an hour ago outside. He does not handle the sunlight well. But inside in the shadows here, he's at his full sort of peak. But for them to be here, it's very odd. There's definitely a story there that I'll make up when it comes. Harlan is like, pounds the door again. You're going to be another sort of skittering sound inside. Just break it down. Break it down. They start like coming at the door, smashing against it, smashing it. What are you guys doing in this moment? Is like, this door's coming down. Maybe this is the killer. Maybe it's all settled right here, right now. Who's missing from the, who's missing? Who isn't in the crowd, though?
Ledoux's not there.
Oh, he is.
He is? Oh, Jean's not there.
The door Jean's smashes open.
Oh, fuck.
And you just hear, it's not what it looks like. You look into this now opened bathroom door. And see Jean Franklin is standing up against the sort of back wall, hands raised, and down at his feet, a bloody silver knife.
Of course.
Awesome.
Of course.
A spread of blood across the floor, and he's just standing, sort of paralyzed. There's just this moment, this frozen moment, as Harlan sort of steps back, almost shocked. It was that easy. And the silence is broken only by Samira Ara as she looks into the room and says, kill him. Hands go to weapons. What do you do?
No. No, it wasn't him.
Harlan is kind of frozen in place. He doesn't know what to do. He looks to you like he wants something.
He stares into Harlan's eyes. It was not him.
How do you know? How? What the hell? I don't understand. Oh, he's just shocked.
Jean's, it really is. It wasn't me. What wasn't me? What happened?
What are you waiting for? Kill him!
He means it. He's got no idea what's going on. I was going to make a stupid joke, but it just felt too mean to Jean
Franklin. Don't do it, Jules. Don't make a joke, Jules. He's willing with his eyes. He just looks terrified.
He's too focused on himself to know what the hell's going on.
Damn it! His, like, green skin's gone holy pale. He's just looking around for, like, any kind of help. His eyes fall on you, Blanche. Sir, wasn't me. I didn't. What happened?
Harlan, we clearly need to de-escalate the situation. Let's take Jean and leave this area.
No. You're not a part of this. This is our business.
I'm the only one you can trust, Harlan. And as she says that, she looks to Samira. You know that's true.
So you're just frozen in rage.
Madam, listen. Let's take the total downstairs, right? We're in the basement. We have the cell down there. We've used it before. Just lock him away. We'll put guard on there. He won't go nowhere. And we can look into this. We can research. We can investigate. We can figure it out. But I need to know. I need to know for your son, madam, please, that we got the right guy. We'll interrogate him. We'll figure it out. But we can't be rash. Not here.
His eyes sort of glance over to Amos Nier, who just looks furious. This in his house.
And you.
I think as he spins on you, Blanche, just two guards come over and start like ushering. Start pulling Jean away down the hall. The parents, hey, easy with my son. Just a whole
chaos sort of devolving a little ways down the hall. But Harlan's turned to you now.
Why should I trust you?
Because of my capabilities, and you locked me away while the killer did this. You know where I was, and maybe I could have stopped it.
You're right. You're right. You might not know this, but we had eyes posting on you the whole time. There was a man outside, the billiard room window, invisible-like, just watching. The four of you that were in there, we know you're in the clear, but I need something more. My young lord was murdered. I need to know who did it and why. Prove to me that you can be helpful to me here, and I'll give you what resources I can. You can meet with the main suspect. You can hear your young lord's side of the story. I'll even give you a detailed map of the palace. I can give you whatever you need. Just prove to me.
Slowly, not threateningly, Blanche pulls out her sword, takes a knee in front of Harlan, in front of De Piero, in front of everybody, and she says, I swear on my title, on my life, in front of you, my lord, and everyone here, that I will help you catch this killer on my honor.
I think Samira almost storms up to you.
Your honor? What does your honor matter when? No. Madam, please. She's a warrior. She speaks true.
You catch like a glint of something very similar in Harlan's eyes. Some connection. He nods.
And you? I can trust you, Mr. LaRoche.
Blanche, do you trust me?
With everything I've got.
Well, Harlan, there you go. Nothing I can say that's going to make you trust me anymore.
And I'm with him. I'm a sidekick, kind of, sort of. So, yeah, like, me too. All right?
Just a...
Fine. I'll take what help I can get.
I think he just turns back.
All right. You lot, stay here with me for a minute. The rest of you, and he spins around, all of you, go into your rooms now. I mean it. Guard post in every door, you're locked down. Until we come to you, investigate, tear your rooms apart, hear your sides of the story, you're not going anywhere.
I think you hear, like, the Grand Master,
this is outrageous! I will not be demanded of in my own home! You serve the Kings of Corn!
Coin.
The Kings of Corn!
Nope, we're keeping it.
Dark Dwarf, we serve Samira Aura. As per your assignment, Grand Master, her son, the young Lord Meadow, has just been murdered. You want to fire me or arrest me, you may do so tomorrow, but today, you will do as I fucking say.
I think the Game of Thrones almost steps back, like,
fine, fine. But despite your lockdown, I'm sending a missive to Sturge Man. By dawn, you'll be replaced by a real investigator.
Sort of moves over to his room, slams the door. You're like more sort of grumbles as most of the guests begin to shuffle off towards their own room, sort of Dwergar's pushing them. A few of them sort of remain in place. I think Diva Luma steps forward.
If it's all the same, Harlan, I'll set myself up in the salon on the first floor. Could put my face on for the show tonight.
Madam Diva, Prince Mello has been murdered. There will be no show.
You're funny. Have you met the Grand Messer? Do you really think a little murder is going to stop his fun? Macabre as it is, you might have to get used to it.
Fine. I don't care. Serve in the salon. Just don't you leave. We'll have a guard there.
Fyodor Popov, the chef, walks over.
In this case, I would be happiest in kitchen. I have work to do as well, after all, so...
All right, yeah, yeah.
And Larissa Reed, the head of service.
If I am to be held captive, I will do so in the chambers of the Grand Messer, so I may attend to him if needed.
Fine, all right, yeah. Go where you want. Just stay there. Fucking... All right.
Everyone sort of splits up. Think Samira is
that doesn't
standing.
Sound like a good idea.
Everyone go into your own rooms where you can each get murdered one by one.
There's guards at the doors. The doors. I don't know.
My lady, Samira, please. I beg of you, just go to your room as well. I will come to you with every update, every bit of information, but you need time. You need time. This is a sensitive time for you. This is not your home.
She sort of takes this wheezing, shaking.
Fine. to see it done soon so we can get my mellow somewhat decent.
She moves into, and you see she moves into the room actually right beside Mel, the one that you're staying here right now. So you're staying in front of Mello's door, in front of her door, by a bathroom door. She sort of closes it. And you are left in the hall with the captain of the Silent Verse, your new ally.
Blanche pulls out a notepad and a cigarette.
All right, let's solve this.
Calls for a music change. Oh my gosh.
Harlan, what do you know?
All right. I know little. I came up here. As you saw me downstairs in the billiards room, I was asked to come up. I did. And I came upon this. No one else was in the hall when I came. So I came running back downstairs. Called in the guard. Gods. Who could have done it?
Was Mello a fan of Jules LaRoche?
Mello? I don't think so, no. I've never mentioned him. He's not really a music kid.
Could he have brought this costume in his bags and his luggage with him?
He could have. We didn't search the princes. Only ones we searched were, well, just that Ledoux fella. We got him before you came along, and yeah, he was fine. He was in the clear. Just that stupid banner, whatever. Sorry. What's a hand up towards you? He made a big deal of it. Sorry, it was weird.
Wait, why did he say Ledoux was in the clear?
He's just saying the only one they searched was Ledoux. Everyone else worked here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you guys were, your group would have been searched probably. You were downstairs in the billiards room until that all happened. Ledoux was dealt with earlier in the day. They came early. That's why he wasn't in the room with you.
Did you get a good look at that knife?
We can look now.
Let's go take a look, see if we can see maybe where it came from.
All right. And hey, before I forget, because David's going to forget, here's a map of the whole man.
I won't do it like that, but I think you guys get a chance to take a look at the knife, and maybe he calls for someone to go, like,
head to my office, security office, grab the map. Might be helpful to look at.
They run over, and I just want to give you guys access to this because it's awesome. Sweet. And I really want to gush for a second before I forget to gush because holy shit.
I'm pretty excited for this one.
Big twists going on in this adventure, guys. You know it's not a big twist? The fact that fucking Michelle outdid herself again.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait.
Oh, dude, okay. First of all, let's go to the first floor of the manor.
It is huge. Whoa. It's still loading, huge. But I can see this. Wow.
Whoa.
This gigantic manor. So we'll kind of describe as we go where certain things are. We'll kind of like when you go to certain rooms, we'll just describe their placement in the manor. It's going to be on Instagram. It's going to be on Discord. Check this thing out. It's incredible. You can see the billiards room downstairs. You can see where you guys would have been shuffled in from the front of the great hall, down the hallway, into the billiards room. You would have been waiting there, the four of you, for about an hour. And then you would have gone upstairs. So
Hold on. I'm on the other side of the map. Okay, the billiards room was where we were locked up.
Yes.
Okay, so I see the study, the library. Okay, so that the bathroom there, a couple doors down, that's where Jean was. Gotcha. Holy macanoli.
Let's go to the second floor where you're at now. I have some information down. Hopefully nothing that's going to... I think it's all stuff you know.
Oh, it's got everybody's rooms on it. Okay.
Let me hide some information. Okay. So you're looking at this. You see... let's zoom over to the hallway you're at now. As you can see, all the rooms are labeled. A number of the guests are staying on the eastern side of this wing. There are, Azra has his own bedroom here. There's a couple empty rooms, probably for the King of Coin and Air that did not show. Margus Ruba and Xenia Ruba's rooms are here. We also have a room called the Pink Room, just down the hallway. This is Harlan's sort of office where he's setting up. He's sleeping, but he's also kind of overseeing things. Where you stand now at the very edge of sort of western wing, you have to the south... The master suite belonged to Amos Nier, where he's now locked up with Larissa. And you have, to the north end of that, Mello's room, the crime scene. Beside that, Samira's room. I think there's actually a note on the map that this was supposed to be Xenia's room. Usually the Kings of Coin will get the actual like larger suites, but Samira had them rearranged just to be able to be closer to her son. So she took the smaller room so she could be right beside Mello. You also see just south of that, there is a small bathroom. This is where Jean was hiding out, where the knife was found on the floor right in front of him. What the hell is happening there?
So like you said, We're going to post these both on social media and on the Discord. Probably beneficial to at least have the map up so you can take a peek at it if you want to while listening.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, little pro tip.
Or come back afterwards. And yeah, we'll try to find a way to solve, you know, follow those movements as we go. I won't show you the other rooms yet, other floors yet. When you go to the floors, we'll pop them up. I don't want to go too crazy with this.
Sure.
But yeah, seriously. Incredible map. Unbelievable. This is a dream come true for me to run a murder mystery, and Rochelle made it possible with this unbelievably cool sort of setting.
Yeah.
I can do so much with this, and I've used this map a lot in crafting this. keep locations on the map in mind that might be important.
Wow. Yeah, incredibly detailed, really cool, custom, freaking huge manor map. Yeah, thank you, Rochelle. This thing is incredible.
It's so amazing. It's so amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Without further delay,
For the delay,
can I use my eyes of minute seeing to investigate this knife?
Okay, so you step into the bathroom. You go to investigate the knife. Give me an investigation check with advantage.
16.
Okay, you reach down. 16. Two things come to your attention, basically. You see there is a sliding pattern of blood, I think I mentioned before, that starts to slide across the floor to where the knife is.
As if the knife was thrown across the floor?
As if the knife was slid maybe perhaps beneath the doorway. You're looking at the door, and there's enough of a gap that perhaps it could have been like pushed underneath and slid in there. The blood pattern looks like it could corroborate that, but perhaps Jean's story will help clear that up. You also see the knife itself is not a weapon of murder. It looks to be a small silver paring knife, as if used for some kind of you know, meal or snack. Yeah.
She'll point this out to Harlan. You see, Harlan, it looks like the knife was slid under the door.
You don't say. Oh, shit. All right.
Do you agree?
I can't say nothing yet, but it looks possible. Maybe your boy was set up. Maybe.
Who did John leave with when we split?
He was going up with DePiero at the time. Why is he here? This is nowhere near his room.
Yeah.
His room, if you look at the map, his room's on the eastern wing of the third floor, which means he's...
Somebody put him there.
Something weird's going on.
And this paring knife, does this match with the knives that Theodore uses here in the palace?
Oof. Fyodor.
I can't keep any of them straight.
That's fine. Honestly, it's funnier. So, no, it's not the kind he'd use. More like something we'd serve with. Wait. I think... Right. You might want to check out the crime scene. Your answer's right. Might be right there.
We'll head into the red room.
That's the bedroom next to you. Mello's room is the crime scene.
Why'd you say it like that?
Oh, I thought the red room was like...
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Thought that was the murder room. Oh, no, now I see. Murder scene.
Did you say that really weird?
What?
Oh.
No, it's
sounded, more, it sounded, I don't know.
It's my way of being like,
okay.
Perhaps he realized something. And he's like, it might be easier.
Because from my end, it sounded like somebody was in your ear.
I mean, put it this way. Maybe don't trust Harlan all the way, too.
Right.
Yeah.
He's one of the suspects.
Absolutely.
Think about it, the last person to see the body was him.
Mm-hmm.
He came running down.
That's true.
He could have killed him and came running down immediately.
Yeah.
You're this might thrash you around. There's anyone could be it. Could be Jules. Could be Chester. It's me. And speaking of Chester, actually, I think he's going to sort of be like, hey, Jules, look, you know I'm not good with the dead body thing, right? So maybe I'll do some Chestering. If we're allowed free access, I can pick up some rumors.
Do what you do best.
All right. I'll be back. He kind of saunters in.
We'll see you up to it. Yeah, it's fine.
He's with me.
All right.
He's quite capable with a bow as well.
I hope he's not killing somebody. So that's not helpful.
Chester has this ability we talked about before to like pick up rumors sort of passively. He's going to go do that. Maybe he can give you some information if he's sort of doing his own thing. So he's walking away. You go to the bedroom. You push open the door again. Harlan sort of takes a step back and gives you access. He seems, after that, you know, the blood spatter thing, he seems like he's a little more, okay, I want to see what these guys can do. And so you step into the room.
So how are these eyes of minute seeing going to work as far as, like, I want to investigate this room using the eyes of minute seeing? Or do I have to investigate, like, an item?
I'll let you investigate the room with him.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You can go through and see what you pick up. You're sort of scanning around low and careful.
Just an 11.
Okay. Maybe there's not a lot here to see, but I will give you the main sort of bulk, the main things that stand out to you that even with 11 you pick up on pretty clearly. So, and actually your passive would get a +5. So you'd go for your passive investigation +5 as your minimum if you...
Oh, wow. That's... I mean, my passive investigation is 14.
Holy! You have a 19 all the time with those eyes, as long as you're within one foot.
Was yeah,
it?
Apparently.
Wait, that's what?
Incredible.
Your passive what?
Passive investigation.
Investigation.
Yeah, that's crazy. I get it is intelligence based. Yeah, so you are Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Blanche Holmes. You move in this room. You're looking around. And like I said, perhaps you don't see a lot of small details to pick up on, but there's a lot that you can sort of put together just from just a quick sort of moving around. First of all, there's the blood letter symbol written in Mello's blood. As you take that in, especially with a 19, it was drawn by fingers, probably wearing a glove.
Would you say the symbol is called?
The blood letter symbol.
The blood
it's
letter.
It's like the sort of circle with a right. bunch of sort of triangles pushing inwards. It's basically supposed to be the open sort of mouth of a leech.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole thing is to drain the sort of bad blood from the sort of upper echelons of Zinda society. So that's, you know, mm-hmm. drain the blood, leech. I don't know. It's cool.
All right.
You see, do you want all the stuff or do you want to...
Hold on. I want to ask all a right. question about that first.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not trying to get specifics. I'm trying to get something more like small creature, medium creature, large creature based on the placement of the drawing.
This is good shit. Okay.
You know, like if an ogre was in here,
yeah.
then the blood letter symbol would be drawn like 8 feet up.
Fucking but Steven maybe just put on his cap. I'm so geez, excited.
Maybe if a Dwergar drew the symbol, are they small creatures? Or are they medium-sized creatures?
I like this a lot. Hmm. The symbol seems to be drawn at a medium-sized level. Dwergar are medium-sized, okay. but I will say it looks, you think, a little tall for Harlan. He'd okay. have to be reaching up a bit to do it. So it's something to think about. Not hugely tall. It's definitely possible, but it seems like it'd be more comfortable for someone non-Harlan.
All right, Harlan, sure. It's not you.
Whoa, Siri, how'd you know?
He's just amazed already.
Is there anybody who I can think maybe wouldn't have drawn at this level? Like, are there any small or large creatures here?
The only one that you think of Harlan being maybe a little small for it, the only one that might be a little tall for it is Fyodor Popov. He'd have to be kind of bend, he'd be like sort of crouching down a little bit. He's very tall.
Sure.
He's what's the upper end of what medium is allowed to be.
What's it written in?
It's just a simple blood. Is there
blood.
Blood okay. on a, it looks like maybe a gloved hand. You don't see no prints or anything on it.
Okay.
You see that.
And we can just deduce that it's Mello's blood.
Yes. I think okay. you can see a small trail of drops from the body over to that. So it clearly looks like that is okay. His blood. One thing that's interesting, a curtain is sort of blowing in a breeze, but only one. You see there's one opened window here along the east wall. I think noticing that Harlan says,
I know what you're thinking, but no one got out that window. We would have seen if someone tried climbing out, running out. We got people around enough. We would catch a full person running away.
Well, the shield's invisible.
You think it's one of my guys?
No, I didn't say that.
Lots of people can cast invisibility, Harlan.
You
guys
sort of stop and think like, it's not a bad thought, though. I'll make sure everyone should have eyes in everyone else's position. I'll make sure nobody was out of position. If that's the case, none of mine would have to do with it, but...
Yeah, again, that's not what I'm saying.
All right, yeah, but yeah, invisible.
Plenty of people can do it.
Maybe. Invisible, maybe. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
So if I look out that window, if Blanche looks out that window...
Yeah.
What's within, like, line of sight? Like, is there another building within, you know, 30, 60, 90 feet?
There's a street. If you look out, maybe about... 100 feet out. You know, let me check one thing. This is actually very interesting. I need to look up something that is kind of cool. Okay. About 100 feet out that way is like the end of sort of the courtyard surrounding the manor. And you see this kind of a sort of thoroughfare moving through. Go ahead and roll me a perception check here.
Okay, hold on. I'm just trying to picture the... So 100 feet out is still the grounds of this... mansion.
I guess it's actually in the middle of the city. As opulent as this is, I think 100 feet seems like a lot. 60 feet out. Okay. It's just like a sort of garden. It's kind of, it looks pretty open though, open, grassy. Mm-hmm. This kind of hedges towards the edge and then a sort of fence surrounding the entire estate where you see about 60 feet out, there's this sort of thoroughfare that moves between the various manors. Beyond that one would be the next manor for the next mm-hmm. King of Coin.
So from the window to the fence is about 60 feet?
Yeah. Yeah, a few of the Kings of Coin live here in the city.
Okay, what am I rolling here?
I need you to roll a perception check.
I needed a big number. It's just a 6.
Nothing unusual.
What do you make of this, Jules?
I'm just sitting back and let you take this. You're asking better the questions than I'll ever think to ask.
Do you want to roll perception as well? I'm down. Yeah, Jules steps over, looks out the window.
No. I got a dirty 6.
Not a perceptive party.
2 on the die.
Yeah, nothing really stands out. Just a sort of busy thoroughfare.
I mean, what about my passive perception? It's 14.
Is it really 14?
It's 14.
Oh, you know what? Okay, that's actually higher than I thought. I'll give you something.
Okay.
I'll give you a little something-something. As you look out, you think for a moment, it looks like there's somebody kind of standing a little close to the fence. They kind of look casual, like they're leaning up against it, but they keep sort of glancing over towards the manor like they're looking for something. And as you're kind of watching, they sort of stand up and begin to move away as if...
How far? How far are they away?
They are 70 feet.
Fuck. Never mind.
But yeah, they sort of disappear in a thoroughfare, but you get a feeling for a moment, David. Like somebody was watching the manor from outside looking for something. And then I'll tell you right now, the time is approximately 1:06.
That's specific.
1:10. Not really. I'm just making numbers up. It's 1:10. 1:10 in the afternoon. That might be important later. Shall we go on? You see on a table by the entrance of this room, there is a silver platter with an untouched fruit bowl and some empty space beside it. And as you look at that space, another sort of question might be answered. For one thing, the silver of the fruit bowl, I will just tell you, matches the silver knife you see. And you think that must be a paring knife for fruit for this platter. Likely came with that. So it was delivered to the room at some point. You also see, as an answer to the empty space, that there is a bottle of wine, this full, this sort of thick rim bottle spilled out on the floor, along with 2 wine glasses, it looks like. They're both shattered.
So.
And finally, there's the victim, who was stabbed repeatedly and savagely with a small knife that matches the one that you saw.
That doesn't
outside.
Sound like this was planned.
I don't know. How old was Mello again?
Mello was 19.
2 glasses of wine?
I will tell you, the bottle on the ground is labeled, this is me not knowing how to label drinks, Jelly Black Classique Noir.
Oh, it's jelly wine.
It's jelly wine. And I mean, in Zinda, that's a lot. Jelly wine is super, super common.
For 19-year-olds?
Yeah. Honestly, it's a march of vice, man. It's
very European.
Very European. Yeah, it looks like a pretty, it's like sort of black label, very fancy looking bottle. Looks like some real top shelf stuff.
How much of the wine is gone?
The bottle looks like it has fallen over.
Oh, right.
And essentially all just drained out into sort of like the carpet and sort of leaking everywhere. There's essentially nothing left in the bottle, and the glasses are tinted with it like they were being used, and then they were smashed.
Okay.
Looks like they just were dropped, perhaps in the heat of a moment, but... As I said, there are 2 glasses. The old detective cliche.
You made it. You got there.
Got it. Thank you, buddy.
No problem, buddy.
That's my best, Chester. It's the best you're going to get.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay, is that all that Harlan has to show us?
That's all you see in the room as you kind of take your first looks around. You don't see there's anything like else sort of minute and small. It looks like just these broad details. There is, I'll say, blood that moves to the wall to that one point. You know, with a 19 passive, I think looking at the trail of blood, it might move to the window, but it also seems to move outwards towards the hall.
Oh, I see.
And actually, as you look at the windowsill, you see that there is, again, like some fingerprints gloved that must have pushed the window open. But there is a bit of a red stain.
Are those on the inside or the outside?
On the inside. But why?
So you said the trail of blood moves to the window.
Yes.
There are bloody prints on the window.
Because someone opened the window.
But it also looks like there's a trail of blood from there to the door,
as if someone left. And you know that someone slid the knife outside in the hallway into the bathroom door. Right. So
it could have made it, tried to make it look like somebody left through the window, but they're actually still here.
That could be it.
Or they were communicating or passing something off.
To whoever was standing down there.
Can I look, like, up and down outside the window, like, to see if somebody tried to hide something outside the window?
I like that a lot. You open the window, you look down and up. Nothing up looks remarkable at all. And even down, you look and you don't see anything that stands out. There's going to be a hedge lining the bottom of the house there, sort of right up against the window just below you. But as you're looking down at that, you see the window down below this one, just below, is also open.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear from behind it, like,
I don't understand. This is crazy madness. It's Fyodor Popov.
That
must be the window into the first floor kitchen where he's been sent. You just hear him muttering to himself, kind of moving further and further away, but it sounds like he's just distressed.
And if I listen for a minute, you said he's moving away. I can't hear anything he's saying.
Yeah, I think he just sounds like he's just kind of, what is going on? This is craziness. How am I to cook now? How am I to make food for angry bellies? I don't know what to do. And just kind of moves farther away. Like, it just seems,
All right. How much experience does Blanche have with jelly wine?
Ooh, I think you'd have quite a bit.
Okay. So she might know what it smells like pretty well?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. She turns to Harlan. Harlan, I want to trust you as much as you trust me. Will you humor me?
Okay. This is, I'm scared, miss.
She gets Master close.
Master defense. Oh, God, what?
And looks directly into his eyes with an intense stare. Open your mouth.
Okay.
Blanche wants to.
This is fucking awesome.
See if she can smell jelly wine on Harlan's breath and use the eyes of minute seeing to see if there's any tint on his teeth.
Okay. All right. Smelling is perception, eyes is investigation. Go ahead and roll both. This is phenomenal. I love Detective Blanche.
Just a 5 on the perception. Dirty 20 on investigation.
Dirty 20 on investigation. There's no tint there. Now, you might think that a lot of people would have tint because a lot of people would be drinking. Harlan, it seems, has not had a drop.
Okay.
He's on duty.
No drinking on the job, I can see. Well done, Harlan.
Like you met him. He salutes. I love Detective Blanche. Just a loose cannon, quirky, wild and genius. Want a TV show of this.
Any thoughts, Jeremy?
What say you, my dear Watson?
So Samira is she's in her room, which is adjacent to this, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Can I pop open Mello's closet? It looks like that both Mello and Samira's room have closets there.
They share walls.
I like this a lot. Open the closet.
She wants to kind of like investigate the walls to see if there's any hidden passages or anything.
You see nothing like that.
Okay.
I'll just tell you right now, there's no passages you see here. And the blood trail corroborates that it does not seem to go anywhere near the closet.
Right. So it seems like, if Blanche were to leave the room, it seems like the blood trail leads to the bath and then...
It moves slightly down the hallway and then just kind of vanishes. It's like the blood stopped dripping then.
Right.
So wherever it went after moving past the bathroom, you don't know. Could have gone right down to Grand Messer's room. Could have gone down to the east wing where a bunch of other rooms are. Upstairs, perhaps, where a bunch of people are staying.
Yeah.
Downstairs, anywhere.
It feels like we're done with Mello's room, with the murder scene, I think. Maybe. Blanche looks at the ceiling!
Nothing.
Damn.
I want to give you something here that's kind of fun because you to open up the curtain a little bit, we just paused for like a half second and something came up that was pretty interesting, which was Steven mentioning that he wished he'd seen the persons because he wanted to cast message on them if he had thought of it, on the figure that was outside in the street. Now, too late for that. But because you mentioned that, and I think this is kind of fun, if Blanche is to hear about this, which I'm sure you guys are sharing information as you're looking, you would think that that position on the street looking towards a house would be a perfect spot to cast message to someone on the inside.
Huh.
I think just the fact that message came up, I want to give you that sort of that logical leap. I think that's really cool.
Okay.
I think that's really cool. Like perhaps that figure was supposed to be contacting somebody. It's just a thought. It's a possibility, but it sticks in your mind. Like that might mean something, you know, message, you use message. That seems like the perfect spot to casually linger, look towards a house. And if you see a person, perhaps at a window, cast message.
Okay. Okay. That's great. So now, I mean, we know that the Bloodletters are a whatever organization. So we know that the murderer is not working alone. So now it's like, is the murderer the only Bloodletter that's in here? Are there multiples?
Is it a Bloodletter?
I mean, I suppose. Yeah, right. But whether or not it's a Bloodletter, they're probably not working alone.
Now I'll give you, I want to help you out here, because Blanche is very smart, and I want to at least like address things that Blanche would consider as potential leads based on what you found. I'm not going to be hand-holdy the whole time, but I do want to help direct things because it's a show. And it's just more fun if I know you guys have like objectives you can go look into. So when you find a clue, when you investigate something, when you realize something, I'll help to be like, okay, you would know based on your experience being this character in this world, you might figure this, right? So you see that silver tray, the fruit bowl, the knife, the wine, the glasses. What comes to your mind is that wouldn't have been here initially.
They all came from the kitchen, yeah.
Somebody would have brought this up. Who would deliver this? Would it be Fyodor Popov or perhaps the head of service, Larissa Rin? Someone delivered this. When did they see anything? You know, that's one lead. You also have Jean Franklin down in the basement. Apparently, like they found a cell or something that he's staying in. He's going to be in a terrible mood, but you might want to hear his side of the story.
Yep, that too.
And of course, perhaps Chest has heard a thing or two downstairs as he's kind of been listening in. So, how do you want to proceed?
My first thought is one by one, go and interrogate everybody.
Yeah. I think it might be good to start in the kitchen because of the proximity under the window and because of the fruit. The
evidence in there.
Harlan, I'd like to speak to Fyodor, whoever,
Popov,
in the kitchen.
Fyodor, what him? You know what? Doesn't matter. I'm not going to question your methods, great detective. I'm just a lowly constable in your story.
It's nice to get some recognition around here. Do you see this, people?
All right, hey, follow me.
And he begins to move down the hall, and I imagine the two of you move in behind him. You press away from this room, away from the opened bathroom door, the streaks of blood running across the tile, away from the closed door of Samira Ara, where she sobs, deep throaty sobs you can hear muffled behind the wood, and away from the corpse of Melo Ara. A sweet boy killed for what? His eyes are closed now. Perhaps Harlan reaches down and closes them before you guys take off. And as you begin to move ahead of him, he just looks back with one last sort of sigh, sort of braces himself. Tears want to well, and he doesn't let them.
We'll find him. I promise we'll find them.
As he closes the door to the murder scene.
And we'll call it there.